Om Jnanadhimadannasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. We're continuing with our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5. Chapter number 12, Rahugana converses with Jadbharata. And the text today is number 15. Sa mam smritir mrigadehe api vira. Sa mam smritir mrigadehe api vira. Krishnarchana Prabhava no Jahati. Krishnarchana Prabhava no Jahati. Ato Aham Jana Sangad Asango. Ato aham jana sangat asango vishankamano avivritash charami vishanko vishankamano vrivritash charami Samam smritir mrigadehe pivira. Krishnarchana prabhavana jahati. Ato aham jana sangada sango. Vishankamano vrivratascharami. Samam smritir mrigadehe pivira. Krishnarchana prabhavana ja. Krishnarchana prabhavana no jahati. Ato aham jana sangada sango. Vishankamano vrivatascharami. Samam smritir mrigadehe pivira. Krishnarchana prabhavano. Krishnarchana prabhavano jahati. Ato aham jana sangada sango. Vishankamano vrivatascharami. Samam smritir mrigadehe pivira. Krishnarchana prabhavano jahati. Ato aham jana sangada sango. Vishankamano vrivratascharami. Samam smritir mrigadehe pivira. Krishnarchana prabhavano jahati. Ato aham jana sangada sango. Nishankamano vrivatascharami. Samam smitim rigadehe pivira. Krishnarchana prabhavano jahati. Ato aham jana sangada sango. Ishankamano vrivatascharami. Samam smitim rigadehe pivira. Krishnarchana prabhavano jahati. Aho aham jana sangada sango. Ishankamano vrivatascharami. Samam smitim rigadehe pivira. Krishnarchana prabhavano jahati. Atoham jana sangada sango. Vishankamano vrivatascha. Vaishnavis. Samam smitim rigadehe pivira. Krishnarchana prabhavano jahati. Ato aham jana sangada sango. Vishankamano vrivatascharami. Samam smitim rigadehe pivira. Krishnarchana prabhavano jahati. Ato aham jana sangada sango. Ishankamano vrivratascharami. Samam smritir mrigadehe pivira. Krishnarchana prabhavano jahati. Ato aham jana sangada sango. Vishankamano vrivatascharami. Sa. That. Mam. Me. Smritihi. Remembrance of the activities of any previous of my previous life. Mrigadehe. In the body of a deer. Api. Although. Vira. O great hero. Krishna Archana Prabhava. Which appeared because of the influence of sincere service to Krishna. No jahati, did not leave. Ato, therefore, aham, I, janasangat, from the association of ordinary men, asangaha, completely detached, vishankamanaha, being afraid, evrivritaha, unobserved by others. Charami, I go here and there. Translation, my dear heroic king, due to my past sincere service to the Lord, I could remember everything of my past life, even while in the body of a deer. Because I am aware of the fall down in my past life, I always keep myself separate from the association of ordinary men. Being afraid of their bad materialistic association, I wander alone, unnoticed by others. Would you like to repeat? Just this devotee. Okay. My dear heroic king, due to my past sincere service to the Lord, I could remember everything of my past life, even while in the body of a deer. Because I am aware of the fall down in my past life, I always keep myself separate from the association of ordinary men. Being afraid of their bad materialistic association, I wander alone unnoticed by others. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Swalpam apyasya dharmasya, from Bhagavad Gita 2:40. It is certainly a great fall to go from human life to animal life, but in the case of Bharat Maharaj, or any devotee, devotional service to the Lord never goes in vain. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 8:6, Yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tajat yanti kalevaram. At the time of death, by nature's law, the mind is absorbed in a certain type of thinking. This may lead one to animal life, yet for a devotee there is no loss. Even though Bharat Maharaj received the body of a deer, he didn't forget his position. Consequently, in the body of a deer, he was very careful to remember the cause of his fall down. As a result, he was given a chance to be born in a family of very pure brahmanas. Thus, his service to the Lord never went in vain. Om Agnanatimadandasya Agnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Cha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Varshabana Videvi Dayataya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Pravave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Praimadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dhinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gorakishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Rasambode Padambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gorashakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Goravirbhava Bhomestam Nirdesta Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarvabhoma Shri Jagannathaya te namaha Vancha kalpatrubhascha Kripa sindubhya evacha Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Namo mahavaranyaya Krishna prema pradayate Krishnaya Krishna chaitanya namne gaura tushe namaha pancha tattvatmakam krishnam bhakta rupa swarupakam bhakta avataram bhaktakyam namami bhakta shaktikam he krishna karuna sindo dinabando jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute jayatam surato pangor mama manda materagati Matsarvaswapadambojo Radha Mananamohano Divyavrindaranya Kalpadramadha Srimad Ratnangara Singhasanasto Srimad Radha Shila Govindadevo Preshtalibhi Sevyamano Smarami Srimad Rasarasarambi Vamshivatatatastita Karshan Venu Swanir Gopir Gopinatha Shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindayai Tulsi Devyai Priyayai Keshavasya Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavatai Namo Namaha Shri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Narasingha Prahlada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srajamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharmasam stapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mami vaishyasi yukvaivam Atmanam matparayanaha sarvadharman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja ahang tong sarva papibhyo mukshayishami masuchaha shushusho shradhanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahat sevaya vipra punyatirta nishevanat shinvatam swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana Hridyan taksto hibhadrani vidunoti suritsitam Nashta praeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati utama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha Bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate Vidyate rariya grantis chijante sarva samshaya Shiyante chasya karmani drishtai vatmanishvare Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Samam Smriti Mrigadehe Pivira Krishna Archana Prabhava No Jahati Ato Aham Jana Sangada Sango Vishankamano Vrivatascharami. My dear heroic king, due to my past sincere service to the Lord, I could remember everything of my past life even while in the body of a deer. Because I am aware of the fall down in my past life, I always keep myself separate from the association of ordinary men. Being afraid of their bad materialistic association, I wander alone, unnoticed by others. Swalpam apyasiddharmasya en yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. Well, Prabhupada quotes two verses in this purport from the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna says that even a little advancement on devotional service, even if it's very tiny, it's never lost. It goes to one's eternal credit. And the second verse is from the eighth chapter of the Gita. Arjuna had asked the question, how can one remember you at the time of death? And as part of his answer, Krishna says that whatever one thinks of at the time of death, one will attain without fail. Whatever state of being one remembers, yung yung vapi smaran pavam, tajatyante kalevaram, tajatyante, when one gives up the body, tajatyante kalevaram, at the end, ante, when the body is given up, yam yam vapi smaran pavam. So smaran means to remember, and pavam means the feeling or the nature that one is contemplating. Tam tam evaiti kontiya, whatever that is, he will attain that. Whatever he's thinking of, yam yam, tam tam, he will attain that. Tam tam evaiti kontiya sada tad pava bhavita. He'll, without fail, attain to that particular thing that he's thinking of at the time of death when giving up the body. So these two verses together in the purport are important and relative to the verse, because Bharat Maharaj, although advanced in devotional service, remembered a deer. He was absorbed in the thoughts of the deer at the time of death, and that's the kind of nature he attained. But at the same time, because he had been practicing Krishna consciousness and remembering the Lord, Krishna gave him special favor to remember. And in the verse itself, Krishna Archana Prabhava, which appeared because of the influence and sincere service to Krishna. That remembrance appeared because of his sincere service to Krishna. Krishna Archana Prabhava. And that's what never goes in vain. In the Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter, Krishna mentions that if one falls down from devotional service, in the next life, he'll take up where he left off. Krishna reminds him, and the devotee can begin again in remembering him. So for those who understand this science, that our time in this particular body is limited and that we can die at any moment, which is the hallmark of a transcendentalist who thinks, I can die at any moment. And Prabhupada said that that's what defines a transcendentalist. He thinks like that. And a materialist, he said, thinks, I will live forever, and doesn't consider the consequences of his actions. But the transcendentalist understands that the time of death is an important juncture, and he practices remembering Krishna. And the remembrance is cultivated, especially in devotional service, by hearing and chanting. By hearing about Krishna, one can speak about Krishna or chant about Krishna, and then naturally remembrance comes. And the sound vibration enters within the ear and then within the heart, and it cleans the dirty things from the heart. And then gradually one's natural pure devotion to the Lord shines forth. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhya kabunoi shravanadi shuddha chitte kare udoi. We're eternal servants of Krishna and eternally related to him in loving service, but that's been obscured. But by the process of hearing and chanting, shravanadi shuddha chitte, shuddha chitte, the consciousness becomes purified. Kara Udoy, and what's naturally there comes out, which is one's devotion for Krishna, when the consciousness is clarified and purified. And that's done by the process of hearing and chanting. And Krishna, who is within the heart, assists the devotee who's sincerely listening to his messages by helping him to cleanse the dirty things within the heart. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says, in the Adi Lila first chapter, in the verse quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Britapuvakam Tadami Puddha Yogam Tam Yenam Upayanti Te. Krishna's verse from the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in which he says that one who worships me with devotion, I give the intelligence to come to me. And in the last section of that purport, Prabhupada says that scientists come together to discuss their research and to share their realizations about the research they've done and the studies that they're engaged in. And he said, in a similar way, devotees come together to talk about their realizations and compare the notes that they've gathered. And Krishna says in the Gita, Machita makata prana bodayanta parasparam katayantashtamam nitya tushanticha ramanticha. That they do this all the time. Their lives are absorbed in me and their speech is absorbed in me. And they talk amongst themselves about me. And therefore they derive great satisfaction and bliss. In the purport I just mentioned, Prabhupada says that Krishna enjoys this discussion between the devotees very much. And because of that, he bestows his blessings upon them and purifies them. So in an assembly of devotees, where devotees are discussing Krishna, and that's what happens in an assembly of devotees, the vibration itself is pleasing to Krishna, and therefore he bestows blessings. And as described by Lord Kapiladev, Satam prasangam mama virya sambido, Satam prasangam mama virya sambido, Bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata, Tajjoshanarashu apavarga vartmini, Shradaratir bhaktir anukramishyati. That in the assembly of devotees, Satam means sincere devotees who are cultivating devotional service, their aim in life is to go back to Godhead. One hears the topics of Krishna, and it's a very pleasing sound, and the sound enters within the ear, and from the ear it enters into the heart, and there it changes one's aim in life from pavarga, which means absorption in the material world, birth, death, and old age and disease, to going back home, back to Godhead. One changes one's direction. And step by step, anukramishruti, the devotee develops various stages of realization of Krishna, starting with Shraddha or faith. Faith means where you place your heart. Shraddha means heart, and dha is an active verb. It means where you place something. Shraddha means where you place your heart. And Shraddha awakens by hearing in the association of devotees and thickens. And from there, rati, or positive attraction for Krishna, a taste for the topics of Krishna, becomes intensified, and then bhakti, or one's natural swarasiki, or loving sentiment towards Krishna, then awakens. And that all happens by the process of hearing, that one comes to remember Krishna and then to develop loving sentiment towards him. So we're cultivating that by staying in the association of devotees and regularly hearing and chanting about Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing from the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. When we come before the deities, we also hear the prayers from Lord Brahma. And all of these work to cleanse the heart. And gradually bring us to the point of remembrance of Krishna. And Rupa Goswami says that this is how one should organize one's life. Tannama rupa charitari sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyoja tishtan vraje tananuragi jananugami kalam kalam nayad akilam ityupadesha saram. That the essence of all advice is that one should organize one's time, 24 hours a day, so that one can hear, chant, and remember Krishna. And in that way, gradually, again he says, kramena, step by step, one will come to the position of remembering Krishna, and then one can live in Vrindavan, tishtan vraje tananuragi jananugami, and follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees there. These things occur naturally. Regarding the generosity of Krishna, which is mentioned in this verse and in Prabhupada's purport, that sualpam apyadharmasya, that even if one performs a little bit of devotional service, Krishna notices it, because he's always attentive to the devotee. As Gajendra says in his prayers, the Lord's never alash, he's never lazy, he's always attentive and observing us. And whenever we give a slight inclination towards him through devotional service, then he counts that. Uddhava noticed that Putana, although she came to kill Krishna when he was a baby, also acted as his mother. And he remarks that, oh, how wonderful it is, and who would take shelter of anyone else except for Krishna? He's so kind that although Putana came to kill him, he didn't consider that part. He just considered the part that she acted as a mother. And he gave her liberation and accepted her as mother. Aho Baki Yam Stanaka Lakutam. He says, oh, how wonderful, Aho Baki, that Baki, the sister of Bakasura, came to try to kill Krishna, but he liberated her and gave her the highest benediction because of that. So who would take shelter of anyone else except for Krishna? In the material world, Prabhupada notes that people work very hard their whole life for their family members or some corporation or boss. But then when they want something in return, everyone says, you haven't done enough. You have to do more. And the Vaishnavas remember this verse that kama adinam katina katita palita durnideshas. The senses are bad masters in this world. And the devotee says, they've never given me time off. They've never shown me mercy. And I've never questioned them. And it's very hard to please people in this world, because no matter what we give, everyone wants more. But Krishna is easy. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya. If one gives just a tiny inclination towards Krishna, just a scintilla of sincerity towards Krishna, he remembers that. He never forgets it. And he counts that forever. Therefore, Narada Muni says, tyakva sadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajanu pakva topatetato yadi yatra kwa babajam abuda musikim kovarta apto bhajatam sudharmata. That if somebody drops what they're doing, which seems very important in this world, to please everybody else and keep the status quo, and turns their attention towards Krishna sincerely, trying to attain him, even if they happen to be immature in their decision because they weren't quite ready yet, they're apakva or unripe, and therefore they fall back down again in their practice of devotional service, there's no loss. On the other hand, Narada Muni says, if someone perfectly performs their duty and serves everyone they're supposed to serve in this world and does their duty properly, but doesn't serve Krishna, then what did they gain? Nothing. So, knowing this, devotees realize that the great wealth in life is to transfer their energy incrementally to serving Krishna constantly. That's their intention. And that becomes altogether possible by following this process of devotional service throughout one's life. There are various phases of life that one must go through, and therefore there's a step-by-step process by which one may remain connected to devotional service going on with whatever duty one must do in this material world, and the process of hearing and chanting, which goes on concurrently with our duties in life, will become victorious and will become prominent as we go on performing devotional service. And Brahma, in his prayers to Lord Krishna, said, Jnani prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiyavartam stani stita shutigatan tanavanmanobir I prayaso jita dito pyasitais trilokyam. And Lord Chaitanya liked this verse when it was suggested by Ramananda Roy as a means to attain the absolute truth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted it. He said, yes, this is okay. And what is that? Just give up the process of trying to understand Krishna by speculation and serve him, especially stay in your position, whatever it is, but hear about him. Stani stita shrutigatam. Lend your hearing process to topics about Krishna. And then you will come to such a state of perfection that you'll be able to conquer the unconquerable. Krishna is unconquerable, he's ajita. But he'll become jita, or conquered by you, because of your love that you'll develop. In other words, you'll come to the perfectional stage by that. So, for anyone in any situation of life who continues the process of hearing and chanting, the goal is sure and certain. And even if one happens to fall back, Prabhupada mentions this in the pastimes of Gajendra. Gajendra was Indradumna Maharaj in his previous life, but he offended a sage. And because of offending the sage cursed him. Sages do that a lot. But within the curse, there's usually some benediction. So he cursed the sage, he cursed Indradumna Maharaj to become a dumb animal in his next life. So he became an elephant on the heavenly planets near the Chitrakoot mountain. It was a heavenly place. And one day while he was going with his family, Gajendra the elephant, to take a bath, he was in a good mood, intoxicated by the good life that he had. And he was the king of elephants. He was enjoying the breezes, which carried the scents of multifarious flowers that grow in the heavenly planets, and the clear water of the lake where he was about to bathe was strewn with the pollen of various lotus flowers. His family went in the water, and then he enjoyed, although it was a little bit of labor, spraying them with water. And he was thinking, life is good. And then suddenly, crocodile grabbed his leg, and he began to struggle. Now, normally, elephant defeats crocodile, but not in the water. In the water, crocodile defeats elephant. When you go to Vrindavan and you walk around Govardhan Hill, you can notice the different combinations of animals. Who defeats whom? Monkey defeats dog, or dog defeats monkey? And then there's cow against dog, dog against monkey. There are various combinations, permutations. You can see who's more powerful, who has more Shakti. In the water, crocodile has more Shakti. But Gajendra, as is the nature of everyone, struggled for his life. And he did so for 100 years, celestial years. Sometimes he almost pulled out of the water, but then the crocodile pulled him back in. And there came a point when he realized, I can't win. And that will come to every one of us. There's a point through our struggle in life to stay alive. Our body's always struggling to stay alive, although we barely notice it. And we're always trying to avoid being crushed one way or the other, or poisoning ourselves, or accidental choking, or any of the myriad ways we can die. We're trying to avoid these things, but there will come a point when it'll enter into our mental system that I can't win. I'm going down. And it's a very difficult juncture, because it's our nature to stay alive. And some people say, oh, I don't mind if I die. But then if you say, can I kill you right now? They'll say, no, not right now. But at that point, when we're dying, it's hard to give up. Even sometimes devotees say, when that time comes, it's hard to tell whether you should keep fighting. Should I take more chemotherapy? Should I try to fight the cancer and stay alive? Or should I give in and simply die? Difficult. The juncture of death is not an easy thing. Therefore, one has to prepare for it. Gajendra, knowing that he was going down, that he had no other recourse, suddenly remembered prayers from his previous life. As Indradyumna, dutifully every day he recited prayers to the Lord. And now, as he was about to die, he began reciting them. And he didn't remember exactly what they were about and who they were for. He just knew that he was crying out for a higher power. Even the demigods listened, and they heard the nature of the prayers, and they said, those aren't for us. Those are for the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord heard them and said, that's for me, I'm going. And that's what he does. As soon as he hears sincere prayers by the devotee, then he comes to rescue the devotee. And he came to rescue Gajendra. If one offers sincere prayers, even if one doesn't know who God is. I met a man the other day when we were in Austin, Texas. Last Saturday, we were distributing books. And he was coming out of Gold's Gym, so I showed him a Bhagavad Gita. And at first, he was fairly neutral, not that interested, but I kept showing it to him. And then his interest began to catch on a little bit more. And then I asked him for a donation. And he said, okay, I'll give a donation, but it's deep within my backpack. I already packed it in. It's in my pants pocket. It's in the backpack. I have to go set this down so I can open it. So I said, okay, let's step into my office, which was happened to be right there on the sidewalk. And he opened his backpack. We were both kneeling down on the pavement. And he started opening the backpack and getting his money out. And as he was opening, he was saying, you know, I've been having a really hard time in life. And then he said, I've been praying. About 2 weeks ago, I started intensely praying that God would show me the way. And I said, well, you know what? This is it. I'm just an instrument. What do I know? But I think this is it. It's like he just answered you. And all of a sudden, tears started pouring from his eyes. They're just pouring from his eyes. It was an epiphany for him. Akesha Bharti Maharaj told me his story, how he came to Krishna consciousness, that he was a meditator, and he was living in the high desert, way away from everyone. The only person that lived close to him and his wife was his landlady, who was a Christian. And his landlady had been in Los Angeles, and walking through a parking lot, someone sold her a Back to Godhead magazine and Easy Journey to Other Planets. And Keshav Bharti Maharaj's wife, at that time he was Kenneth Beck, his wife had gone on a vacation to Mexico. Neither of them were devotees or knew anything about devotional service. And while she was there, she was shopping at a bookstore, and there was only one book in the whole store that was in English. And it happened to be a Bhagavad Gita, as it is. And she thought, my husband's into meditation. This looks spiritual. I'm going to buy this. So landlady comes to the house, rings the doorbell at his house, and he thought he was experiencing a high level of meditation because he read a book that said you'll hear bells when you come to this higher level. But finally, after about the fifth ring, he said, that's the doorbell. And he went out there, and the landlady said, I brought you these books. I know you're into this. I'm not so interested, but she gave it to him. And the next day, his wife came home and said, you know, I know you're into meditation, and gave him that. He didn't look at the two books, any of the books. He just put them in his backpack. And he went to work. And he was working the midnight shift at a gas station. So he was working all night. He had the books in his bag. He intended to read them when he had a break. The sun was coming up. He took the books out of the bag. He knew that they had come from disparate locations, and now he looked at them and he saw they were the same author. And tears started flowing from his eyes. Intuitively, he understood this is divine intervention. Otherwise, how could this have happened? And a similar emotion came over this man that I was talking to in the street of Austin, that he, tears just spontaneously started pouring from his eyes when he was looking at me, looking at the Bhagavad Gita, hearing what I was saying, searching for his money, realizing that he'd been praying, realizing that his prayers had been answered. And Gajendra called out in his time of desperation, "Please come save me." And in fact, in his prayers, he said, "I know pure devotees don't ask to be saved because they don't ask for anything. But right now, I have a crocodile on my leg, and I would really appreciate a little help." So Krishna came and liberated Gajendra in that situation because he's always attentive. He's always waiting for that, to hear the intention of the soul. And I've been playing with these words, very interesting, this word ten. It means to connect. And intention, attention, it seems to me that your attention follows your intention. If you have an intention to think of Krishna, to remember Krishna, then your attention goes there. Ten means a kind of, like, tendon is also the same word. It connects you. So how you develop your intention, which happens naturally by association with devotees and going on with the process of hearing and chanting, your intention becomes more and more fixed on thinking of Krishna. Vishraddha shabde vishvas kohe suridanish choy Krishna bhakti koila sarva karma krita hoy. This means the thickening of faith, that one believes more and more firmly that if I just fix my attention on Krishna and his service, I don't need anything else. Everything else will be done properly. This is faith, actually. Krishna bhakti koila sarva karma krita hoy. All other work is done. I don't have to do anything else separately. Just dedicate myself to this. And fortunately, we have the directions of the great acharyas to show us the step-by-step process that unfolds for those who cultivate their faith and go on hearing and chanting, that there are progressive stages of realization that occur as one becomes more advanced in the process of hearing, chanting, and then remembering, which comes naturally. And from that, one is never separated from Krishna. And one develops awakens one's intense and naturally occurring relationship with Krishna. Om Tat Sat. So I'll stop there, and then we can have some discussion. Maharaj?
Two things. In japa, there's a nice thing that we do in japa retreats is sankalpa, which similarly indicates intention. And intention helps to focus attention. You know, where, like as I quote you, where attention goes, energy flows. So same idea. So behind the attention, which determines where energy flows, there's intention. So when we're chanting, what's our intention? Connected to this, it's just like a little sharing, but connected with that is from Sri Brahma Samhita, when Saraswati says to Lord Brahma, by chanting of this mantra, all your desires will be fulfilled. So it depends on what your desires are. That's your intention, which says where your attention will go, which Krishna then responds to. So better watch out what your intention is and where attention goes, and especially when we're dealing with this like high spiritual technology. It's like putting technology in the hand of a criminal. they can do really bad things and put technology in the hand of a devotee, and they can do amazing things. But, you know, what's behind is, what's the intention? Just some sharing on that intention idea. And a little, the verse says, Krishnarchana prava na jahati. When you described it, I was appreciating that you were connecting. The smriti here is remembrance. Sa mam smriti here, but it's specific. Mrigadehe, I'm Judd Bharat, but I'm remembering Mrigadehe because of the Krishnarchana prava. I'm remembering that I was in this really embarrassing circumstance. But he also, of being in a body of a deer, and therefore I'm not going to mess up again. But he was also given the remembrance in the body of a deer of his life as Judd Bharat. I mean, at Bharat Maharaj. But the way you explained it was also very nice. It was because he thought of the deer at the time of death, he became a deer. So, he messed up. His intention, and therefore his attention, and therefore what happened, didn't go right because he wasn't properly attentive. He became inattentive because his bhava as a kshatriya took over. I got to protect this deer. So we can make similar mistakes of, like, you know, doing the right thing in a worldly sense, of taking care of somebody or something, or, you know, and forgetting Krishna, although his gift was Krishnarchana Prabha. So, it just, the way that you explained it, maybe I wanted to come and look at the verse. Thanks.
Thank you. Just one's intention may be purified as one continues. It may be that one's intention isn't completely pure in the beginning. I'm just proposing. Yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi piti vatsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhava. Sanchintya tasya sadrishim tanuma purete govindamari purusham maham bhajami. Brahma says people approach Krishna out of kama, krodha, piti, vatsalya. So, there may be various intentions. Dhruva Maharaj, who bitterly lamented later, said, why did I hang on to such petty things when I was approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that I wanted something from him? He lamented later. But somehow Krishna purified his intention. Just how is it that one can begin with a pure intention if one's heart isn't pure? There may be, therefore, akama sarva kama vas, moksha kama udarati, tivrena bhakti yogena, yajeta purusham param, that whatever condition of life one's in, still approach. And even if one's chanting with some kind of offense, Shastra says, go on chanting, because constantly, avishani prayuktani, you have to continue, because then eventually become purified. But we were talking last night about how one should make sure not to hang on to those ill intentions, and maintain material desires even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. There is a point at which I have to clarify my intention, although in the beginning it may be not completely pure. But when I come to realize that I have a choice to abandon the ill intention, I have to at least give Krishna permission to take it away, my personal realization. Just seeing one day, as I was driving down the road, an anarta pop up. And then I watched how my mind dealt with it. And there was a suggestion that was offered to me, which was, just put that away, because if you bring it out, Krishna will take it away and then you won't have it anymore. And I thought, who said that? And then there was a kind of strength required within my own soul to say, no, I'm going to bring it out. I'm going to give Krishna permission to please remove it. And I thought of it as, you know, one, my bad mind wanted to put it in a box and put it behind me and said, I'll bring it out some other time because I may need that. I may want that later. Therefore, let's not get into it too much. Because the more we talk about it and the more I expose it to Krishna and philosophize about it, the more it may be exposed to the light of day, and then it might go away. Or Krishna might just come and snatch it away. And then I thought, then the merciful part of the part that was coming out of mercy came in and said, no, you know, this some spiritual intelligence by the mercy of my spiritual master and the devotees came in and said, no, try to get rid of it. And then I thought, I started thinking about the process of purifying intention was that if while chanting especially, I make a prayer to Krishna, my sankalpa is that I'm going to leave that box unlocked. You know it's there, I know it's there, we know there's anartas in there. I may not be strong enough to actually take them out of the box myself, but I'm leaving it unlocked. And Krishna, please, you do what you want with that. You can come in and take it. And it reminded me, I was in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book about Krishna, Sri Krishna Sanghita. He talks about the 18 demons that Krishna killed within Vraja. And he says that each one of them represents, is an archetype of a certain kind of anartha. And that by submitting oneself to that, by hearing submissively these stories about Krishna killing these demons, that it also simultaneously is a way that these various kinds of anartas are annihilated, are killed. Because he's pointing out that it may be very difficult for us to kill these demons, these anartas, these ill intentions, but Krishna can do it. So as a sankalpa, give Krishna permission. A very dangerous prayer to make for those who want to somehow or other keep on in material life, which is, Krishna, I don't know what's good for me. You do what you like. Spiritual gambling. You take a risk and say, Krishna, you do what you think is best for me. I'll leave it to you. That's kind of exciting to say that. Krishna, please do as you wish with me. And the fact that he remembered, you're saying he remembered, his remembrance was, by Krishna's mercy, that he was a deer in his last life. And so that reminded me when you said that of the importance of repentance. Ajamil was a similar situation when he had been first apprehended by the Yamadutas, then saved by the Vishnudutas, heard the conversation between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas. Afterwards, he was released by the Yamadutas. He tried to approach the Vishnudutas to appreciate them. They disappeared. He was left by himself now with his acquired spiritual intelligence. And he went to meditate and perform devotional service in a holy place. And all the time he remembered what had gone wrong. And he was repentant. And so there's a kind of fire in repentance that Prabhupada mentions that burns up the ill intention to remember that how much I made a mistake. And in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada implores us to remember what fallen, and actually it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I just read this the other day. Prabhupada says, we should always remember what fallen condition I've come from. I should remember what fallen condition I've come from and never think that, oh, now I'm a great devotee. But I should keep that in mind, that I was saved. I was brought up from a fallen condition. And it also brings to this point of that one should be careful. One should always be careful. I gave a seminar recently called The Anatomy of a Fall Down. And I had been reading in the Bhagavatam where Prabhupada said that not only should one perform the activities of pure devotional service, but one should also be careful at the same time. So I started thinking, what does it mean to be careful? And some of the things Prabhupada says about that are that one should never think oneself a great devotee. One should never think oneself liberated. As soon as I think I'm liberated because I'm a devotee, I'm liberated because I'm initiated, I'm liberated because I'm a leader, so forth, then I'm vulnerable. Then Maya can grab me. I should always think I have to be more careful than anyone because I'm more fallen than anyone else. And in his prayers, Prahlad Maharaj says, Lord Nrsingadev, I'm not afraid of you with your mane soaked with blood, your high wedge-like ears, your fierce roaring that's scaring everyone in the world away. That doesn't scare me at all. What scares me is Vishnu Maya, that at any time I can slip and fall into that. And then later in those prayers, he says that Krishna is like a desire tree. And he fulfills one's desire, not considering the higher or the lower. Whoever comes to him with any desire, he just fulfills it. And he gives them whatever his desire is. So I appreciated what you were saying about we should be careful. We've done this meditation sometimes in sessions that we've had that, okay, imagine a desire tree, fulfill any desire you have. Now, what do you want? What is it you actually want? And then when I start thinking about what's actually in my heart, what do I want, what am I asking for, there can be some revelation there. If I want a bag of hammers to fall upon my head, and it does, I can't blame the desire tree. It's my own bad desire that caused that to happen. Yes.
Hare Krishna. You were making the point when you were distributing the Bhagavad Gita to this man in Austin that even if one doesn't fully understand who God is, right, one can still pray to him. And I was... One thing I'm trying to understand more is the role of knowledge in our ability to remember Krishna. You see this in Krishna book repeatedly, where you have the prayers of, say, like Akrura or Brahma, but then there'll be an exposition on Krishna's position as the source of everything. It's very detailed. It gets a little, it's a little heavy for me to handle. You know, it's very philosophical. It's very deep. But they go on to explain his position as the universal absolute truth. And then there'll be these very sweet prayers. So I'm trying to understand, how do you balance the knowledge of Krishna's position? Because with the feeling we can relate to, knowledge is a little bit harder.
Well, knowledge is a concomitant with sincere devotional service. It's concomitant to pure devotional service, with pure devotional service. Vasudeva bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita janayat yashu vairagyam jnanam chayara haitukam. Sutta Goswami says that when one worships Krishna sincerely, performs devotional service, then naturally, automatically, simultaneously come jnana and vairagya. One gets knowledge and detachment from the world. And you'll notice that people from any condition of life who are offering prayers to Krishna, they may be from demoniac species of life, from any situation, if they have bhakti, then they get this clear understanding of Siddhanta and they're able to explain it. Prahlad Maharaj, for instance, he was a 5-year-old boy. And he was pushed forward by the demigods. Because when Lord Nrsingadeva appeared, he was so angry that even Lakshmi, his wife, couldn't figure out who he was. She'd never seen anything like this. And all the demigods came forward, and they were offering beautiful Sanskrit prayers. Sasra shisha purusha sasra kta sasra pat sabuming vishato vritva atitishta tashangulam. He's still mad. And they said, Prahlad, you try. And Prabhupada said it was like pushing a child into the cage of a lion. I mean, Narada Shingadev just torn apart Hiranyakashipu, who is this gigantic demon, and he's there roaring with blood all over him, and the demigod's like, okay, we give up, you try. So Prahlad goes forward, a tender little boy, and then he starts offering prayers. And he, at first, he said, what can I do? The demigods came forward. They know Sanskrit. What do I know? They're from high families in the mode of goodness. I'm from a demoniac family. And he said, then he said, I think that, then he remembered Gajendra, appropriate. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gaja yutapaya. He said, okay, Gajendra was an animal. And because he offered sincere prayers to the Lord with bhakti, bhaktya tutosha, he satisfied the Lord. Because Krishna's only looking for that sincere feeling that comes from the heart of the living entity. If that's there, if there's sincere feeling, then bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gaja yutapaya, he satisfied the Lord. So then Prahlad reasons that anyone from any situation of life, no matter what situation they're in now, if they're sincere and they offer prayers, then they'll be successful. The Lord will accept it. He'll take that. And you naturally, if you offer devotional service in that mood, will come to the position of knowledge. It comes naturally. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru. Tasyaite katita hyarta prakashanti mahatmana. For one who has implicit faith in the Lord, the spiritual master, then all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically, simultaneously revealed. It's not an intellectual process. Sometimes people study all kinds of verses in Shastra and they become bookworms, but no bhakti. They're thinking, I'm a great scholar. A Krishna doesn't accept it. He doesn't like it. But if someone in broken language offers Krishna sincere feelings of bhakti, then he's very pleased. In fact, mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the pure devotees in Vraj, who are not noted for great Sanskrit or oratory, when they reproach him in a sulky mood, when his intimate devotees approach him and chastise him and say, you know, he comes to someone's house and they say, we don't want to see you right now. Or they say, but it's out of pure love. He appreciates that more than the reverend hymns of the Vedas recited by great Sanskritists. Not so much interested in that, but when someone has that pure bhakti, even if it's imperfectly stated or it's not up to Vedic standards, he likes it very much. So if we try sincerely, then knowledge, detachment, everything else will come. We'll come to understand the Siddhanta more perfectly. Okay? Yes.
Thank you. I just had a question. We were describing how, as devotees or aspiring devotees, Krishna's reciprocating with our desire, our intention. So in the case of materialistic people, this is a big phenomenon now, like the power, or they have the secret, just based on your intention. So how is it that materialistic people can be getting what they... What is the operating principle of how they're able to receive their desire, even though they're acting separate or
is
seemingly...
Is that true?
Seemingly, they...
Really?
Well, if people are born in a rich family, they can go and make lots of money and... For this, at least, lifetime, it seems that...
The question is, how can somebody who has no spiritual inclination receive gifts from material nature? Or seemingly, how they can live affluently for some time? Krishna's giving to everyone, so seemingly he's also giving to them. Well, in the story of Nrsingadev, this is also mentioned, that while Nrsingadev was fighting with Hiranyakashipu, he grabbed him. In fact, it was a great event, because all the demigods were watching, and they had a lot at stake, because everything had been taken. They had to bow down to Lord Nrsingadev, Lord Hiranyakashipu, and... they really wanted Nrisimhadeva to win. So they were watching from above. And at one point, when Nrisimhadeva was fighting Hiranyakashipu, he dropped him. And they, oh no, because they thought, not only now might he lose, but Hiranyakashipu saw us, you know, like going, come on, you know, win, you know, now we're really finished. And Prabhupada explains that, you know, a cat likes to play with its food before he eats it. If you've ever seen a cat catch a rat, you know, it doesn't just go, it plays with it for a couple hours, you know, lets it go and then chase after it, grabs it again, ha ha ha, got you again. So Lord Nrisimhadeva had that same spirit when he was playing with Hiranyakashipu. And Prabhupada says sometimes materialists, in the span of time when they're let go and they can run free, this is a time when they think, yes, yeah, see, we got it made. What do we need God for? We're so smart. But it's just that little interval when they've been let loose. Material nature is relentless. Even for the Karmakandis, like Maharaj Nriga, who tried to manipulate the system and give away so much charity that he'd be able to enjoy forever, practically, in the material world. He made a little mistake, and then he had to become a lizard in his next life. But in bhakti, if you run with your eyes closed, says Kavi Yogendra, you won't slip and fall, because Krishna's watching you. Supada mulam bhajata priyasya tyaktanya bhavasya hari priyesaha Vikarma yachchot patitam katanchid tunoti sarvam hridi sannivishta. Even if you do some vikarma while you're performing pure bhakti, Krishna will save you because he knows your intention from within. But if you're a materialist and your intention is to disregard God altogether and simply enjoy the material nature, it's a process of being crushed by material nature without even realizing it at first. But materialists do come to realize it. Mrityu sarva harashchaham. At death, Krishna says, I come and I take away everything, and they see me at that time. So devotees, they voluntarily give everything to Krishna. And this is the last point I'll make, because I think it's late. And that is that we should look to voluntarily give up whatever material attachments we have. Don't wait until Krishna comes and takes them away. Once Giriraj Maharaj was in Bombay, and there was a young man who was translating Prabhupada's books into Marathi. And the young man had a father who would accompany him to see Prabhupada. And the young man's father had a habit of smoking. And so he was trying to give it up. And every time he saw Prabhupada, he'd say, I'm trying to give this up. And so Prabhupada asked him, have you given up the smoking? He said, I need special mercy. You please give me Krishna's special mercy through you. And Prabhupada said, Krishna can give you special mercy, but it means he'll make you so miserable that you'll be forced to give it up. Do you want that? And he said, no. I'll do it myself. So we have to look. This progressive devotional service means to voluntarily give it up. Look and see, how can I voluntarily surrender to Krishna? We have that power. That's our real power, is to discriminate and voluntarily give these things up. Those who are just engaged in the process of material nature, this is an old story. It's been going on since time immemorial. You can read poetry, songs, novels about, you know, the great Gatsby and all the great kings who made empires, and then they were turned to dust by the power of time. So this is simply futile attempts and wishful thinking in the material world. Our mood is that Krishna is the supreme controller and everyone else is his servant. Any other mentality is simply foolhardy and will be crushed. So we should voluntarily surrender to Krishna, and then we're in our proper constitutional position and our life becomes happy. Gaur Premanande Haribo Vancha Kopadrubascha Kripasanabeva Cha Patitanam Pavanibyo Vaishnavebyo Namo Namaha. Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.